are the dangers of crabbing on the South End's Puget Sound, as well I know. Most are natural hazards, but considering we're South Enders born and bred, nearly as many are self-inflicted. A month or so ago, I was out in the killing fields about a quarter mile row when I noticed water collecting at the bottom of my crab boat. I figured a small leak, one that I would no doubt patch, you know, eventually, in my own good time, later. But only a few minutes went by before the puddle was now a kiddie pool. I tried hoisting my shoes against the side of the boat to keep them dry, but finally I had to remove them, tear off my socks, roll up my pants. Obviously, at least to a grizzled old crabber like myself, this was no little leak. Later would have to be now. Well, astute as I am, I quickly diagnosed the problem. The plug in the transom had fallen off, and half of Saratoga Straits was pouring into my little 12-foot boat. Any neighbors watching from shore with their living room telescopes would probably think my catch was so bountiful the boat was settling half a foot into the waters from the sheer weight of Gigormus Dungeness, a haul they dreaded I might turn into a Homeric mythology, boring them for the rest of their retired lives. Trouble was, I couldn't find the missing plug. Had it dropped out back at the bulkhead? I stuffed a handkerchief into the hole, which helped some, but I needed that plug. Perseverance, right next to improvisation, is a trait we South Enders have in abundance. Panic was not going to stop me from reaching my pots, that's for damn sure. Submersion, however, might. I needed that plug, which I found under the seat among old crab claws and clam shells and beer cans and rotted bait. Where there's a will, there's a way. I got to thinking I needed to draw one up, notarize it, maybe that afternoon. Crabbing, like I said, is risky business. Today I plan to pull my pots for the season. Winter crabbing has been poor, the winds and storms are frequent, the dangers are magnified. Most of the time I'm out there with no other boats in sight, no chance of a sea rescue if a mishap occurs. In fact, the wind had come up a bit by the time I reached the bulkhead, but have I mentioned perseverance as a South End trait? I pressed on, lowered the boat onto the shore, loaded up, and pushed off. I once lost an oarlock out there. You ever tried rowing a boat with its most dangerous catch back to shore with one oar, winds roaring in your ears, and no one around? Believe me, you will understand the words of Gordon Lightfoot's song, The Wreck of the Invincible Gerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? Well, a South Ender does. But I digress, as usual. Today I was pulling hard on the oars, fighting waves and current and killer whale attacks, undaunted as always, my very own captain courageous, when I felt the right oar go cattywampus. Trust me, my first thought was the oarlock. But no, it was intact. I stroked again both oars and noticed, keen-eyed that I am, the end of one oar was missing. Actually, it was floating away from the boat, and I had basically a long stick left. You ever tried rowing a boat with one oar and one stick? Trust a salty dog on this. It's not good seamanship. Any sailor with salt in his veins knows that, if he knows anything. Even a South Ender. Well, sir, you probably guessed I made it back to shore okay, or I wouldn't be sitting here in dry dock regaling you with another grand adventure. Sure, I can embellish the story, keep you in suspense, but by now you've come to expect Houdini-like escapes, hair-raising cliffhangers, impossible catastrophic aversions. Truth be told, I was 3 feet from shore. Just jumped right out of that scow of mine and dragged it back to the beach. Crabbing, you just never know what the next peril will be, even if it's of your own making.